be in church this morning. Say amen. Amen. All right, if you do have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do, take it, open it to whatever you want to, because it's all good. But if you want to be with me, go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we'll be this morning. Let me say I'm thankful for our sound people. I know they sit back here and nobody sees them or even recognizes them, but let's just give them a hand for what they do for us, because I appreciate for what they do. Junior, you did good flipping the slides last week, so we'll see if you can do it again this week. We won't clap next week if you don't do good. All right. Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we'll be this morning. Go to verse number 18. That's where we'll start. We'll just read these four verses here. Probably very familiar verses to all of us. Verse number 18, Ephesians chapter number 5. Paul is writing to the Ephesian churches. He says this. He says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Let's just keep on reading, because these are good verses right here too. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." That's where we'll stop this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, we thank You for the good singing that we've already had. Lord, we thank You for the fellowship that we've had with one another. Now, Lord, I pray that as we come to make an attempt to preach Your Word, God, I pray that You will open up the hearts of Your people. God, I pray that You'll remove every hindrance that might prevent Your Word from falling on our hearts this morning. And Lord, I know that I can reach the ears and the brains of these people, but God, only the Holy Spirit can reach our hearts. So God, I pray that You would open up our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each and every heart in here this morning. And God, I pray that as we preach Your Word, I pray that You'll remove us of all flesh and cleanse us from all of our sin. And God, fill us with Your Spirit to do Your work. And Lord, I pray that if there's just one person in here this morning that's never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray today will be the day that they do that before it's eternally too late. And Lord, we thank You for all You've done for us. For the rest of it, we'll give You the glory and honor and the praise. For all of it, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If I were to ask you a question this morning and you were to answer it honestly, to this question, what would you say? How is your Christian life? How is your Christian life? Now, I know we could all stand up and shout and say, "It's just amazing this morning." But if we were to answer it honestly within our heart, what would we say? Would we say it's normal, it's average? I mean, we go to church on Sunday. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't cheat on my husband. We try to live right. I try to do the right thing when I go out into the world. I mean, it's just average. It's good. It's just like everybody else's. Or would you say, "Man, it's extraordinary. God works in my life every day. It's the best life that I've ever lived." Now, can you imagine if I were to walk up to the Apostle John, Peter, James, John, Paul, Thomas, any of them, and I were to say, "How's your Christian life?" Do you think they'd look at me and say, "Well, dude, it's average. We go to the synagogue once a week. Try to live our lives for God. It's just average, just like everybody else's." Do you think they'd say that? They'd probably look at us and say, "Man, it is the most amazing life that you could ever live. Walking side by side with Jesus is the best time I've ever had. I've tried it all, but rather I've tried now walking with Jesus, and it is by far the most extraordinary life that I've ever lived." That's what they would say this morning. I'm almost confident of that fact. And you say, well, of course they would say that. They got to walk side by side with Jesus Christ. Of course they would say it's extraordinary. Well, what I want to show you this morning is that the same way Peter, James, and John walked side by side with Jesus Christ, you and I can experience the very same thing. By living what the Bible calls the Spirit-filled life. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about, is living the Spirit-filled life. And this next slide up here will give you a definition of just simply what the Spirit-filled life is, if you're taking notes. The simple definition of the Spirit-filled life is this. It is living moment by moment with an awareness of the presence of Jesus Christ around you. In other words, living moment by moment, consciously aware that Jesus Christ is walking right beside you. Now I want you to think, we'll make it practical, how differently would you live if Jesus came and sat right beside you right now? What would you do? You would erupt with thanksgiving, you would erupt with praise with what He's done for you. If Jesus were to go home with you today, how would you live differently? Would you watch the same programs on TV? Would you talk the same way? How would you live differently if Jesus were literally walking right beside you? And that's what the Spirit-filled life is all about. It is simply living each moment of your day with the conscious awareness that Jesus Christ is right beside you. And I want to tell you a fact this morning that the Bible tells us. That there is no such thing as an average Christian life. There is no such thing, and I asked the question before we started, how's your Christian life? And if we were all asking honestly and answering honestly, we would say it's just average. But the Bible will tell us there's no such thing as an average, normal Christian life. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, the thief comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But then what did He say? I am come that they might have life and have it, what? More abundantly. He said, I didn't come to give you an average life. I didn't come to give you a life just like everybody else lives. I came to give you a life that's more abundant, that's free, a life that is different from everybody else. It's not average. Another question. Are you as satisfied as you've ever been? Or do you want more out of your life? Do you want to experience more of Jesus Christ in your life? Do you want to experience more of Almighty God in your life? See, Paul, the one who wrote these verses that we just read, he wanted more. He says in Philippians that he had it all. He was a Pharisee. He lived by every jot in the law of the Old Testament. He was a Hebrew. He had it all. He was trying to earn his way to heaven. He was doing everything that he could, yet he found that he wasn't satisfied. But the Bible says all those things that he counted gain, when he met Jesus Christ face to face, he said all those things went out the window because all those things didn't satisfy me anymore. Because he found that meeting Jesus and knowing Him satisfied him for the rest of his life. Can I tell you, we can try to find satisfaction everywhere that we want to in this life. And most of us turn to other things than we should rather than Jesus Christ. The studies will show you now that when people want to find satisfaction, they turn to music. Can I tell you, music can satisfy you for about 10 minutes, but then it's gone. The second one that people turn to is alcohol. Can I say that alcohol can satisfy you for a night, but you wake up in the morning and you're more empty than you were the night before? And you got to just keep on taking it in. Drugs might can satisfy you for a short time, but you wake up and you're just as empty as you were before. You can try another man, you can try another woman, they can satisfy you just for a short time, but only Jesus can satisfy you for forever. See, there was a woman that came to Jesus, and she was the woman at the well that we read about in John chapter number 4. And she was a woman that wanted more. She was a woman that couldn't find satisfaction in her life, and she just couldn't seem to get it. She had already had 5 husbands, and the one that she was living with right then wasn't her husband. And Jesus looked at her and said, listen, if you drink of this water, you don't thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. See, the things of this world, we can drink it, but eventually it's going to go out and we're going to need more. And we're going to be empty again. But can I tell you, when you drink of the water that Jesus gives you, He will satisfy you not for just this life, but for all of eternity. We could try all we want to get satisfaction out of this life, just like the woman at the well did. But until we meet Jesus, it won't satisfy us. See, Jesus said, you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. You say, what was that water? Listen to what He said in John 7. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake He of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of Christians is not a water that runs dry, but rather it is a living water that continually runs, that continually springs up. The Spirit of God. And if you're not satisfied with your life this morning, Jesus has an offer for you. And it's the Spirit-filled life that He wants to give to you. And the Spirit-filled life, as I said, is simply walking side by side with Jesus, and it's the only satisfaction you'll ever find in this life. Now last week, if you weren't here, I'll just go over just a quick preview or review of what we did last week. Last week we talked about who is the Holy Spirit, and it'll kind of tie into this message today, just in case you weren't here. Now last week we talked about who is the Holy Spirit. We said the Holy Spirit was not an it, but the Holy Spirit is a real person. In fact, He's the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's just as much God as God the Father is and God the Son is, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a person, the Holy Spirit is God. And when believers trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, at that moment, this Holy Spirit that you and I are talking about comes to live on the inside of you and me. And He indwells us as believers. And then we talked about when the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, as He did to me when I was 12 years old, He doesn't leave. But He rather remains permanently as a seal to the child of God, as the down payment to show that you are God's child. Now today, we're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit lives on the inside of you. And those are two different things. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit are two different things this morning. If you could go to the next slide, you'll be able to see the difference between the two. Now, last week we talked about when you trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit happens to all believers. Every single person who's ever trusted in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. And it happens when you believe. The moment you believe, you don't have to wait another second. The moment you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside. And you'll never find in your Bible where it says, I command you to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I command that the Holy Spirit come to live on the inside of you. We don't have to do anything to get the Holy Spirit. That's God's responsibility to give the Holy Spirit to us when we trust in Him. So it happens to all believers, it happens when we believe, and it's never commanded because we don't have anything to do with it. Now the filling of the Holy Spirit is a lot different than that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, that doesn't necessarily happen to all believers. Because to be filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't happen when you believe, rather it almost happens when you behave as a child of God and you walk in the Spirit. And you'll find that here in verse number 18 that we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So we have a responsibility ourselves to be filled with the Spirit. Now I know that the indwelling where the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside and the filling of the Holy Spirit, they sound the same, but that's how they're different. The indwelling happens to all and the filling of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen to everybody. You can go your entire Christian life and never be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the next slide will give you just a quote that you can write down if you want to. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Junior, if you could go to the next one. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the one-time act, so it happens one time, by which Jesus Christ, at the moment of conversion, brings the believer into a relationship with Himself and makes the believer a part of His family. So that's the indwelling, it's one time. Now the filling of the Holy Spirit is the continuous experience with the Christian, whereby the Spirit who indwells him keeps control over his life. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has control over your life. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean that we get more of Him. Because when you and I got saved, we said the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us. Not half of Him, not 20% of the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside, but rather 100% of the person of the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us. And being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean we get more of Him, because we already got all of Him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means He gets more of us. You got that? Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean we get more of Him. It means He gets more of us. In other words, we surrender our will to His. We surrender our desires to His. Surrender what we want to do to what He wants us to do. So that's just a quick introduction. Everybody all right? All right. Now the next question to be asked is, if we want to experience this Spirit-filled life, how do we? Because that's a question that people ask all the time. As I read about Peter and Paul and John and James, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They're all making an impact on their generation. How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? And that's what we're going to talk about just for the next few minutes. Now, there's no perfect formula that I can give you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll say this too, because there's some churches that teach this, to where it's being filled with the Holy Spirit is something to where you get zapped, and just all of a sudden you start acting like an idiot, you start dancing around, you start acting like a charismatic, and you just doing whatever because you're apparently filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible teaches. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that happens continuously, moment by moment, to where you're just walking with Him. It's not an experience that happens that changes your whole life. It's just something that happens where you give control to the Holy Spirit and you start walking with Him. That's all it is. Now, how is this accomplished in our lives daily? Because I have a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know all of us in here do this morning. To be filled with the Holy Spirit and make an impact on the people around us. So how is this accomplished daily? 3 points I'll give you and then we'll be done. Number one, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must consume spiritual things. Consume spiritual things. Now I want you to look, if you have your Bible still open, go to verse number 18 to where we started. And this is going to give you a contrast here of what we're talking about. Because verse 18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine. And that's also a commandment still. The Bible doesn't change. The Bible does not evolve no matter what the times say. The Bible still says, be not drunk with wine. But then it says, but be filled with the Spirit. So we've got a contrast here between a person that's getting filled with wine in order to get drunk and a person that's getting filled with the Spirit. See, it's a contrast right there. Now, for the next 3 points, I'm going to make a contrast between this being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit, because they go together actually really good. To be drunk, a person has to consume large amounts of alcohol, right? To be drunk, somebody just can't sip alcohol here and there, but you've got to consume large amounts of alcohol in order to get drunk. And in order for the person, the Christian, to be Spirit-filled, we just can't consume spiritual things on Sunday. And we just can't consume spiritual things here and there, but rather we must consume large amounts of spiritual things. And it's the same way with the person that's getting drunk. They must consume large amounts of alcohol. If you and I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, we must consume large amounts of spiritual things that's not just on Sunday. Now, the two greatest things that you and I can do to consume these spiritual things, the two greatest spiritual disciplines that you and I can do is praying and reading your Bible. Praying and reading your Bible. Now, let me say this. If you're on Facebook more than you got your face in the book, you ain't going to be Spirit-filled. If you're on Facebook more than you got your face in the book, I like that, I'm going to say it again, you ain't Spirit-filled. Because you and I, although we come here on Sunday, and some of us get filled with the Spirit here on Sunday, and we walk out and we're walking with God, but by Monday we're not anymore. because we haven't consumed any more. We haven't let anything else in our bodies to fill us up. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." So in other words, continually let it dwell in you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." In other words, pray and don't stop. Don't ever stop. You and I need the Bible in order to be Spirit-filled, and you and I need prayer in order to be Spirit-filled. Not only does the person that wants to get drunk, he has to take in large amounts of alcohol, but rather he must continually take it in. Because if he just takes it here at night and doesn't do it continually, at some point he's going to sober up, right? And you see, some of us might have been filled with the Spirit 6 months ago, but we're not anymore. Because we haven't continually taken in these things. We might have took it in 6 months ago, but we haven't in 6 months. So we're not continually taking in these things, the Word of God and prayer. God told Joshua, He said, "Don't let the word of this law depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it day and night, for then thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then you'll have good success. Then you'll make your way prosperous." David says, "Hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against God." The word of God is something that we need continually every single day. And I can tell you, if this is Sunday, this is Sunday. If we were to start this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, if you were to wake up, I don't know how many of you set an alarm, but most of you just get up just by getting up at the same time every day. But if you set an alarm, if you were to set your alarm just this week, 15 minutes earlier, and start your day as soon as you open your eyes, reach over and grab your Bible, you would be amazed at how much it changes your week. Because some of us wake up and we turn on the TV the first thing, and we get all these people putting these thoughts in our head, and that's all we think about the rest of the day. Most of the time we wake up and we're already worried because this worry floods our mind from the things that we have to do. But if we would start our day in God's Word, you will be amazed at how much it'll change your day. And if you haven't consumed that much spiritual things this week, we shouldn't be surprised that we aren't walking with the Spirit of God. We can't blame God for our lives if we're not doing our responsibility to. We can't blame God that we're not satisfied with our Christian life if we aren't doing the things that He's called us to do every day is our responsibility. So number one, in order to be Spirit-filled, you and I must consume these spiritual things. Number two, I want you to see that not only do you have to consume these spiritual things, but you must submit control. Submit your control to the Holy Spirit. Now here is a question that everybody in here knows the answer to. Have you ever seen a drunk person under control? No, right? I won't ask you how you know it. But have you ever seen a drunk person under control? The answer is no. Why? Because the thing that they have consumed large amounts of has taken control of everything that they have. Drunk people don't think the same thoughts that they do when they're sober. Drunk people don't say the same words that they would say when they're sober. Most of them, if they walk into a bar and they're this tall, they think they can take the man that's this tall. And most of them don't do the same stuff that they would do when they're sober. Because they are under the control of the large amount of thing that they have consumed. Now you see where I'm going. When we consume these spiritual things, you and I will be able to submit control to the Holy Spirit, and our thoughts won't be the same as they used to be, our words won't be the same as they used to be, and our actions won't be the same that they used to be, because we submit our desires, our control, to the Holy Spirit that has lived on the inside of us. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit, to say, "I'm not going to do what I want to do today. I'm going to rather let the Holy Spirit lead me, and I'm just going to do what He wants me to do. Because He is under control in my life." You see, when you and I get saved, God sends His Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. Amen. We talked about that last week. But in the same way, when we get saved, He doesn't remove our old sinful nature. Our old sinful flesh is still here when we get saved. How many of you have sinned after you got saved? Amen. If you don't want to raise your hand, I'll raise two. So basically what we have when we get saved is the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, and we also have our flesh and our old sin nature, and they are at battle every single day of which one's going to win the day. The Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, so that you can't do the things that you want to. So when you desire to do God's will, you've got the flesh pulling you back and say, you ain't got to do that. And when you desire to do your own will and what the flesh tells you to do, the Spirit's saying, you don't have to do that either. It's a constantly going back and forth. It's a battle every single day. And you've heard the illustration about the two dogs. They're about to fight. And the owner fed this dog more than he fed this dog for the last 3 months. Which one do you think is going to win? The one that got fed more. And when you and I, if we want the Spirit of God to win the battle, we've got to feed the Spirit more than we do the flesh. In other words, read more Bible than you do on Facebook. Feed the Spirit more than you feed the flesh. And you and I make the choice each moment either to submit control to what we want to do, or we submit control to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Now let's give you an illustration, and then we'll make it practical before we move on to the next point. I believe it's the next slide that will give us our illustration of what it means to submit control to the Holy Spirit. This is Acts chapter number 16. It'll give you an illustration of what it means to walk in the Spirit, to submit control to Him. This is Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Paul's on his second missionary journey. They're walking through Asia, going to preach the gospel. And the Bible says when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. In other words, this isn't saying the Holy Ghost stepped in front of them and said, you can't go there. But rather, they were walking along in God's will, and the Holy Spirit whispered to Paul in that still small voice and said, this ain't my will, don't do it. Look what they did. They went the next way. They just listened, and they went the way the Spirit told them. So they didn't go to Asia. They went to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia. Then look what happened. The Spirit suffered them not. In other words, the Spirit of God said, I don't want you to go there either. And then look what happened. They kept on walking to Troas. Paul desired to preach the word in Asia, and he was walking this way, and the Spirit of God says, I don't want you to go to Asia. Paul turned and walked the other way. He was walking to Bithynia. And the Spirit of God says, I don't want you to go to Bithynia. What did Paul do? He walked the other way. That's as simple as it is. Sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you do whatever He tells you to do. Now let's make it practical. When you're scrolling through the TV on the guide and you see something that you know you ain't supposed to be watching, and you've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, He says, you ain't got to click on that. You know what you do? Keep scrolling. When you're at the gas station and you're talking to a man and the Spirit of God whispers in your ear and says, why don't you invite him to church? You know what you do? Just do it. That's exactly what Paul did. He listened to the Holy Spirit and did whatever He told him to do. See, God has made it very simple for us, but how many of you know we mess it up a lot? Because we want to do what we want to do half the time. But Paul was just walking in the Spirit. The Spirit said, do this. He did that. And that's as simple as it is for us in our everyday lives. Because when you and I are about to do something that God doesn't want us to do, all you got to do is wait literally a half a second and the Holy Spirit will say, you ain't supposed to do that. That's all it takes. He's quick. He'll tell you exactly what to do when you need to do it. And we just submit to His leading. We obey His initial promptings and we'll be able to walk under the control and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the two biggest things that I've found out that not only me, but all Christians struggle with, no matter how old you are, no matter where you are, where you came from, the two biggest things that I believe Christians struggle with are this. Firstly, sharing their faith with other people and temptation. Sharing their faith with other people and temptation. And what I want to show you now is that when you and I get filled with the Holy Spirit and submit control to the Holy Spirit, we won't struggle with those two things. See, in Acts chapter number 4, Peter and John were out in Jerusalem, and they were preaching Jesus Christ risen from the dead. They walk along and they're going through the temple, and this lame man was sitting there that had never walked before. And he's holding out his stuff, and he was begging for money. And the Bible says Peter looked at him and said, I don't have anything to give you. He says, but what I can give you, I'll give to you. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And that man who had never walked before got up and started running through the temple. And the religious people found out about it, and they didn't like it. So they arrested Peter and John. That night, Peter and John had to spend the night in prison just because they helped somebody to walk. And they woke up the next morning and had to go stand before the council. The rulers, the elders, the high priest, all the most powerful religious people on the face of the earth, Peter and John, stood before them. And they knew if they mentioned Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, they could be killed just like that. So they brought him forth and they say, now we see this man, he's been sitting out there for all these years and he's never took a step. They said, now he's leaping through the temple saying, Jesus healed me, Jesus healed me. So what do you got to say about it? By what power is this man now walking? And if maybe I'd have been Peter and John, I'd have looked at John and I said, I ain't telling him. You tell him. But the Bible says this in verse number 8. But Peter, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked at him and says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, is this man now walking. And by the way, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Peter probably gave him one of these and said, boom! You see, he could have been scared to share his faith, but the Bible says that he was filled up with the Holy Spirit and it just came out. He couldn't even help it. I want you to imagine if you can answer this. Do you think the day before this happened, Peter, James, and John were sitting around in their little circle saying, all right, God, I'm having trouble sharing my faith. We're going to need a 3-step class on how to share my faith without fear. Do you think they sat around and said, guys, I'm scared to talk about Jesus? Somebody give me a 3-step part to how I can do it and not be scared. How I can bring up the conversation. Do you think that? No. Peter, James, and John just got filled up with the Holy Spirit and it just started coming out. They couldn't help but talk about the things which they had seen. They couldn't help but talk about the things that Jesus had done for them in their lives. Because they were filled up with the Holy Spirit. You and I have trouble sharing our faith, as we all do, but when we get filled up with the Holy Spirit, God begins to do a work in our lives. We'll be able to look at people at the gas station and say, I don't care who you are, I just know that Jesus changed my life and I want you to know about it. It just comes out when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Sharing your faith is a struggle for all of us, but when we get filled up with the Holy Spirit, He'll do the work for us. And it'll just start coming out. You ain't going to need a 3-step process. And temptation is the other one that you and I struggle with in our lives. And this is what Paul said. He said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walk in the Spirit. You say, what does that mean? How am I supposed to walk in the Spirit? We talked about it a while ago. When you're walking along in God's will and the Spirit of God says, go and do this, you step that way. When the Spirit of God gets a hold of you at home today and says, hey, they weren't at church today, you need to call them and tell them that you're praying for them. You do it. If you're having struggle with a particular sin in your life, right before you come to it, just wait 1 second and say, Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? And He will say, walk this way, and you walk that way. That's as simple as we can put it. To walk in the Spirit is to just do exactly what He tells you to do right when He tells you to do it. Because if you don't do it right when He tells you to do it, sometimes it'll be too late and the lust of the flesh is already fulfilled and your sin has already been done. Now, last point and I'll be done. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, you and I consume these spiritual things. But secondly, we submit control to the Holy Spirit, as we just talked about. We don't do what we want to do anymore. We just do what the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us tells us to do. And thirdly, I want you to see the special consequences that come for it. the special consequences that come from being filled with the Spirit. Verse 18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." In other words, what that's saying is when you are drunk with wine, with any kind of alcohol, that sin more than likely is never going to be by itself. Drunkenness is a sin that rarely stays on its own. In other words, it always leads to another one. It always leads to some kind of immorality because you don't think right. And the same way, when you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, it always leads to something else. It always leads to something in our lives. And it tells you right here in verse 19, 20, and 21, and even throughout the rest of the chapter. It says, when you are filled with the Spirit, verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you and I are filled up with the Holy Spirit of God, we'll be riding in the car, whether you're by yourself or with your wife. If she don't want you to sing, just kick her out and you'll start singing and it'll just come flowing out of your heart. You'll start singing all the songs that we sung today and you won't even know why you're singing them. You ever just started singing when you're cooking? Amazing grace. It just comes out. And you can't help it. That's what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you just started singing and didn't know why? Not singing about a honky-tonk, but singing about the grace of God that Jesus gave to you. That's a result of being filled with the Spirit. Secondly, you say thanks. Verse 20 says that you give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. When's the last time you woke up in the morning and the first thing you thought was, thank God He woke me up another day? You got up out of bed and said, thank the Lord I can put my feet on the ground. Thank the Lord I got food to eat this morning. Thank the Lord we got a place where we can come and worship. Thank the Lord for my family, but most of all, thank the Lord for my salvation that I don't deserve. See, when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, thanksgiving just comes out. We can't help it. Verse 21, not only singing, saying thanks, but submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, other Christians that are around you, you love them. You help them. You walk with them together. It's the body of Christ. But not only that, and I'll be done. But the rest of this chapter will tell you what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Talking about now not only your relationship with God, your relationship with your own heart, your relationship with other people, but the rest of the chapter gives your relationship at your home. See, unless you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that's impossible. Because sometimes that's hard to do. And in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It is impossible to love your wife the way Christ loved the church unless you are operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you know how Christ loved the church? Unconditionally. Sacrificially. Inseparably. He didn't let anything come in between it. And see, all these things in our home, they're impossible to live the way the Bible tells us to do unless you and I are under the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you, when you and I begin to live the Spirit-filled life, we won't wake up in the morning and say, man, we got to go to church this morning, this Sunday. We'll wake up and say, praise God, it's Sunday, we get to go to church. The Spirit of God fills you and I up in order to do God's work. Because when you and I go to the restaurant today, there's people in there that don't know the Lord. And when He whispers in your ear and says, go invite them to church, you just submit and you go do it. But the Holy Spirit is an available source to each and every single one of us. Especially for those who have been trusting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. And if you've ever trusted in Him the way that I did when I was 12 years old, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Now all He wants is for you to submit control to Him. And can I tell you this morning, if you've never had that time in your life where you say, I've never trusted in Jesus, I've never had that conversion experience to where I said, Jesus, come into my heart, save me, be my Lord and Savior. Today can be that day as well. And at that moment, He will give you the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you and give you a life that is beyond your imagination. He won't erase all your problems, but He'll be somebody that can help you right through your problems. And if you've never trusted in Him this morning, He wants you to. He's never turned one person away. Musicians, you can come forth. The Holy Spirit's available to all of us, and all He wants this week is for you and I to submit control to Him. We don't need more of Him. He needs more of us. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, we just thank You for all that You've done for us. We thank You for the gifts, Lord, that You've given us that we didn't do anything to deserve, that we didn't do anything for. The gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood that He shed for us, Lord, we thank You so much for giving that precious gift. And Lord, I thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit that came to us when we trusted in You as our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that we won't take that gift for granted. But God, I pray that You'll help us as we go out of here today and throughout the rest of this week, God, to consume these spiritual things, to take in Your Word, to submit control to You. And God, the Bible says that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace. And God, if we're looking for love, joy, and peace today, we can find it through the Holy Spirit. And He can create that love in us, that joy in us, and that peace in us. So God, I pray that You'll help us to walk closer to You today. And God, as we come back here next week, Lord, I pray that You'll help us all be walking with You. I'll be submitting ourselves to Your control. And Lord, if one person in here has never trusted in You, I pray today will be the day. And Lord, if anybody in here wants to join the church, we know the church doors are always open, Lord. So I pray that today will be the day for that as well. And Lord, we love You and we thank You for all You've done for us. Have Your will and Your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. You would all stand with us this morning. Amen.